Welcome to New Wine. My name is J. Matthew Barnes, and the goal of New Wine is simply this: to talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world. This is the fourth New Wine podcast, and this is what we'll do this time. We'll chat about what community has to do with being sent. That is, are we sent alone or with others, and why does this matter? In American culture, there's an obsession with the rugged individualist. Think about it. When we look back into our past as a country, we romanticize the heck out of people that we think accomplished great feats through their personal perseverance and persistence. A few that come to mind immediately for me are Teddy Roosevelt, Wyatt Earp, and Thomas Edison. In each case, we have an idealistic picture of these men as being alone atop their horse or at their workbench. But for some reason, the way that we talk about this history has ignored the actual realities of these men's lives. Teddy Roosevelt was part of a deeply connected family, and he served in the military and formed lifelong bonds there, and as a politician, he constantly worked with others in order to accomplish any of the things that he did. Wyatt Earp spent almost his entire adult life with his family, moving from location to location with his brothers and their families, using all of their combined efforts, capital, and sacrifices to find the successes that they did. And Thomas Edison was not alone in the process of finding the right filament for the incandescent light bulb. Instead, he was surrounded by a talented research team who helped him at every step of the process. This notion that an individual can work hard and pull him or herself up by the bootstraps is misguided at best. Now, I know that this idea of challenging rugged individualism may sound un-American, but I'm really just trying to be honest. When I think of any of the accomplishments of my own life, each and every single one of them required hard work, persistence, and sacrifice, certainly, but they each also required support from other people. So the idea that you can do anything if you really work hard and put your mind to it, that we in America are taught from the time we're babies, simply doesn't reveal the whole picture. Success, however you'd like to define it, does require grinding and hustle, but it also requires community. And perhaps the area of life where this notion of rugged individualism is most damaging or most harmful, at least in my opinion, is with regard to following Jesus. In our churches, we have taught one another that true Christianity is just about you and Jesus. All you need is Jesus. And while from one particular perspective, this idea is certainly correct, namely the perspective of receiving our much-needed salvation, which can only be accomplished by the work of Christ. But in the day-to-day existence of a follower of Jesus, it has to be more than just me and Jesus. Why do I feel this way? Well, for two reasons primarily. It's got to be more than just me and Jesus because, number one, I have experienced in my own life the pain and frustration of trying to follow Jesus on my own. I know firsthand the ineffectiveness and the frustration and the drama that live alongside trying to fly solo with this whole following Jesus thing. And then number two, Jesus was always surrounded by community. And I want to unpack these two reasons some more. But first, I want to say why it's important for us to focus on community in the first place. During the second New Wine podcast, we chatted about the fact that every follower of Jesus is sent. We are all missional. Then on the third podcast, we talked briefly about how we should be sent incarnationally, trying to live the human life of Jesus in our human lives out there in the real world among other humans. And then on the third podcast, we chatted about how the goal of a follower of Jesus who is sent incarnationally is to make disciples and to bear witness to the grace and love of Jesus. And it's at this point that it's easy to get confused. In all my years of mobilizing people to follow Jesus actively in the real world, I've noticed some common reactions at this point in the discussion. The first reaction that many people have to the idea of being sent to make disciples incarnationally is that they feel overwhelmed by it. The common question goes something like this: how can I do that? I'm just one person. That's beyond my capabilities. Another reaction is the complete opposite of the first. Someone may get a Messiah complex, meaning that he or she may think that they are perfectly skilled and situated to change the world if they just put in the effort. And while I love the enthusiasm of this reaction, it's almost always going to lead to burnout. And perhaps the most common reaction is that actively following Jesus sounds great, and folks are willing to agree that it is what is asked of us in the Bible. However, people, myself included, like to just dip a toe into the missional river from time to time. And when we do, we typically do it alone. That is, we do it on our own. Friends, all of these typical reactions can be avoided to some degree if we sought desperately to follow Jesus actively and to do so within community. We must realize that we can't do this alone. It can't just be about me and Jesus. It has to be about we and Jesus. Here's something to hang your hat on. Following Jesus actively in the real world is a team sport, like American football or basketball, not an individual sport like golf and tennis. We need one another. So let me share with you some experiences from my own life to help illustrate these points. I'll start with a cautionary tale. When I was in my junior year in high school, I decided to participate in a program that my church was offering called Evangelism Explosion. The basic gist was that by going through this program, folks would gain some skills in sharing their faith with others. Since I was so on fire for Jesus at the time, this was perfect for me. I learned some ways to share about Jesus and put them into action in my life. I would witness to people at school, at the grocery store, and on my street. I was always so excited to report to the rest of the Evangelism Explosion class my exploits. And during this time, I helped lead a few people through the sinner's prayer. But I quickly began to realize that doing cold call evangelism like this was hard work. Cold call evangelism is when you go up to someone you don't know and you try to talk them into following Jesus. And speaking from lots of first-hand experience, you strike out way, way more than you get a hit. In fact, research shows that cold call evangelism efforts work in about 1 in 1,000 tries. That is, for every one, yes, I'll believe in Jesus, you're statistically likely to get 999 no thanks, Jesus just isn't my cup of tea. Trust me, the type of Herculean effort required to maintain energy and hopefulness as you do this kind of evangelism is taxing. And this style of evangelism is a one-person job. You wouldn't want to go up to someone with a team of 6 people and try to convince them to love Jesus. That would just be intimidating. So the combination of a more or less ineffective method and having to do it alone led me to burnout with regard to sharing my faith at all. It would be years and years until I tried again, minus times that I did it in an official capacity as a staff member at a church. And so it was with great trepidation that a few years ago, I went to some sessions about evangelism at Exponential West, a major church planting / missional conference. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I knew that if anyone was going to promote cold call evangelism, then I was out. But that's not what I encountered there at all. Instead, what I found was the careful work and beautiful stories from missionaries like Hugh Halter, Alex Absalom, Neil Cole, and others. Even though I had already read Hugh Halter's book, The Tangible Kingdom, which I highly, highly, highly recommend, by the way, the idea of doing evangelism as a community still felt new and unknown to me. But at Exponential West, the ideas behind the term missional community began to set in for me. Here is the simplest way to think about a missional community in my estimation. It's a group of people who are deeply committed to living as a community of sent people who make disciples incarnationally. Let me repeat that. A missional community is a group of people who are deeply committed to living as a community of sent people who make disciples incarnationally. To put it another way, a missional community is a team of active followers of Jesus who seek to share and embody the good news wherever they may find themselves. This idea of a missional community really reignited my evangelism juices. And upon returning home from Exponential West, I sat down with some trusted mentors and talked about what it would look like to begin a missional community within the context of the local church where I work. After much thought and prayer, my wife and I invited 6 other people to go through some missional material with us called the Tangible Kingdom Primer, or TK Primer for short. This book, which was written by Hugh Halter and his ministry partner Matt Smay, is intended to help turn a group of Jesus followers into a band of missionaries, a missional community. And that's just what it did for us. Over the next weeks and months, the 8 of us began being tangible blessings in our neighborhoods. We began to pray for people as we went about our day, asking the Lord to bring people across our paths that we could bless. And He did. I'll share one of those stories. My wife and I were praying one evening for God to reveal to us people to share and embody the good news with. It was a meaningful prayer time full of earnest words and a lot of tears. The following morning, I received a note on Facebook from someone with whom I'd only had a few interactions. The note simply said, "Will you mentor me?" It was crazy. God literally answered our prayer from the night before the very next morning. I quickly replied to the note with a yes, and we scheduled our first meeting. After some good conversation, we agreed to study the Gospel of Mark together. And in no time, my new friend and I were encountering Jesus together in the Scriptures, and I was able to share stories of what our missional community was doing that lined up with some of the things that we read about Jesus doing in Mark. And now, that person that I began mentoring is an active and involved member of our missional community. The rest of the group has folded him in beautifully, and it's been a true blessing to watch him blossom into the active follower of Jesus that he was created to be. In each step of that story, community played a role. It was through community that my wife and I felt the need to pray for opportunities to share and embody the good news. We prayed together, a community of 2. Then I was able to draw from stories of our community to make the stories about Jesus feel more real and now. And lastly, it was community who folded in a new member seamlessly. But this idea of following Jesus within community is still really odd to most Christians. Why is that? Well, here's what I think. We have a misperception about Jesus. We think he's like our romanticized versions of Teddy Roosevelt, Wyatt Earp, and Thomas Edison. We believe that he was a rugged individual pulling from deep inner resources to do what he was put on earth to do. And Jesus certainly drew from wells of inner resources deeper than those of any other human ever. But here's the kicker. Jesus never lived his life in isolation. Think about it. Jesus could have come into the world any way that he saw fit, but the way he actually entered our world was as a little baby. And as a new dad, I can guarantee this next statement's veracity. Newborn babies cannot do anything on their own. They can't eat on their own, they can't get dressed on their own, they can't wipe their butt on their own, and they can't do anything else on their own either. Babies require community. And so did baby Jesus. He was born into a community, into a family. He had a mother and a father and eventually some siblings. And Jesus grew up as an active member of a religious community. He was a good Jew by the standards of his day, meaning that he attended religious festivals and events, probably even traveling to Jerusalem to do so. And he and his family most likely went to a synagogue where they studied the scriptures with other faithful Jews. But Jesus was also part of a wider community too. He was surely part of the life of the city of Nazareth. He most likely apprenticed under his father, who was a woodworker. And it's certain that people knew Jesus and that he knew them too. I'm sure that he attended weddings, funerals, and the like. And then when it was time for Jesus to begin the active public ministry portion of his life, he quickly began to form community for himself. He asked people to follow him. And more than just the 12 disciples did so. There was a larger group of people who attached themselves to him as well. And within that religious community, Jesus had some deep friendships, especially with Peter, James, and John. And even at the moment where we envision the lone Jesus on the top of the hill named Golgotha, dying for the sins of everyone, Jesus had community. Hear these words from John 19:25 through 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So not only did Jesus have community around him while he died on the cross, he also ensured that the beloved disciple and his mother would form community with one another as well. Here's the upshot of all this Jesus talk. Jesus himself always lived within community. What makes us think that as followers of Jesus, we should go at this thing alone? Instead of that, instead of trying to follow Jesus as lone individuals, let's follow him with one another. Here's some advice. Gather a group of friends who love and follow Jesus. Talk together about what it might look like if you did it as a community. There are 1,000 ways you could do this, but what I know best and suggest most often is this. Go through the TK primer together. Doing so will give you and your friends practical training in how to become tangible expressions of God's love where you work, live, and play. But you may be thinking something like this, "But Matt, I'm part of a small group already, so I'm good." But here's my response. Is your small group focused inwardly or outwardly? A missional community is focused outwardly, trying always to think and live out ways to engage the watching world with the good news of Jesus. Whereas a typical small group focuses inwardly on the spiritual lives of the members of the small group, usually engaging in worshipful activities like singing and studying the Bible, and community activities like eating together, doing friendship stuff, etc. And while these things are good, worship and community, they usually don't result in any of your coworkers, family members, or neighbors beginning to experience the love and grace of Jesus. It may sound like a missional community doesn't ever focus inwardly, and I can understand why someone would think that, but that's just not true. A missional community does focus on the spiritual health and well-being of the members of the community. But the purpose in so doing is to equip them to be the missionaries that God made them to be. The prayer, the Bible study, and the community times that a missional community engages in are ways for them to be trained, equipped, and supported before, during, and after they go about their efforts to share and embody the good news. So this is what all of this comes down to. Rugged individualism is a myth. And a harmful one when it comes to following Jesus. Instead, we are called to be like Jesus, who always lived his life within community. Therefore, let's stop pretending it's all about me and Jesus and focus instead on making it about we and Jesus. Thanks for exploring the concept of actively following Jesus within community with me. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, then please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And also, check out my website at jmatthewbarnes.com. That's jaymatthewbarnes.com. For links to all of the resources I've mentioned on this podcast, visit my website and search for the key term, community. And while you're there, at my website, you can get a free 2-week devotional on 1 John that I've written called On Mission with John. There should be a bar at the top of the screen on my website where you can enter your email address so that you can be emailed a download link. Thanks so much for your time. Grace and peace.